Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We will start with this sobering fact. Over half of the world's wildlife has disappeared in the last 40 years. Paul Rosalie, a naturalist and conservationist who lives and works in the Mother of God region of the Amazon, one of the most remote areas in the rainforest, has dedicated his life to helping restore the balance. His new book is Mother of God, an extraordinary journey into the uncharted tributaries of the Western Amazon. It has also inspired a two-hour TV special to air on the Discovery Channel this Sunday at 9 o'clock, entitled Eaten Alive, in which he will describe why he wanted to be eaten alive by a green anaconda. And he joins us this morning to talk about both the book and the special, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Paul Rosalie to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Very nice to have you here. What brought you to the Amazon in the first place?
I'm from New York, and I grew up, going to Ramapo Reservation, which is right across the river in New Jersey. I spent a lot of time in the Bronx Zoo, which when you walk into the jungle world at the Bronx Zoo as a little kid, I mean, it's just awe-inspiring. They have, there's wildlife and there's open exhibits, and there's a lot of conservation information and displays that make it accessible to anybody at any age. And plus, I grew up watching Steve Irwin, having my parents read me Jane Goodall's books. So I grew up acutely aware that a lot of the animals and ecosystems that I really cared about, the stuff that inspired me and made me excited to get out into the world, was vanishing. So by the time I was 16, 17, that urgency was too much to really take. So I took my GED, dropped out of high school, started college immediately, and began working towards a degree in environmental studies while also working at the YMCA, saving up money and applying to research positions in the Amazon.
One of the things that I find interesting about your work and very important is that you feel often environmentalists are speaking to the choir, that often when books are written and conversations are had, they're talking to people who already believe the ravages that are happening to the climate and to our environment. You are looking to bring in a new audience. You are looking ultimately to shock people and to understand what is happening.
Absolutely. I mean, I've worked down there in the Amazon, which is very much like a Wild West situation. I've been down there for 10 years now, and I mean, I've seen the devastation of the Trans-Amazon Highway. I've seen the rampant illegal gold mining that's happening in Peru right now, and all of the environmental effects of this stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, I grew up reading every naturalist book there is. And a lot of them, as a naturalist, as a field naturalist, I enjoy a lot of these very devout, encounters with rare species and accounts of scientific studies. But for most of the public, for most, when you look at movies and TV and what people are actually looking at, reading, consuming, a lot of it's not that accessible. A lot of it's still a fringe thing. People have heard that the rainforest is disappearing, but I think that there's a struggle happening where this needs to be more accessible to people, and that's what I'm trying to do with Mother of God and also with Discovery.
The actual project of being eaten, ingested by a giant anaconda. News of this leaked and it went viral, and the attention has just been crazy as to how people have responded to this. You basically are saying that desperate times call for desperate measures, but at what point do you say, okay, this is something that I can do, and it is beneficial because of, and I'm hoping you'll fill in the blank.
Yeah, I mean, well, I've watched some amazing documentaries on PBS recently that were really scientific and educational, and I enjoyed them and thought they were incredibly well made. The problem is when I talk to my friends or when I talk to people that are outside the scientific or conservation community, those people aren't watching those shows. So this show came from, again, I'm down there every day. I'm watching the forest get burned. I'm in a place where a single tree can have 1,000 different species of flora and fauna living on it. And anybody that saw this firsthand would become an advocate of protecting it, but a lot of people can't see it firsthand. So I wanted to do something that would be controversial, something that would be shocking, in the hopes of creating this dialogue and this spectacle. It certainly is a stunt. It certainly is a spectacle, but there's a reason for it. I mean, as you said, it kind of went viral. I mean, I knew it would get some attention. I didn't think it would anything like this would happen. You know, when you search Eaten Alive on Google, you get something like 250,000 results. Just the commercial on YouTube got 15 million views in a week. People have been asking questions to experts. People have been wondering why someone would do this. And then in interviews, they've been seeing that it's because I care about the Amazon. So there's been a lot of talk and focus and spotlight and all this stuff on the Amazon, which it's very rare that you have that topic coming up. So if you can engage people in an entertaining way and sort of hide the vegetables, you know, and sort of, you know, slip in that, you know, this is really important, but here's a really awesome, you know, so we're using anacondas as a flagship species, as like an ambassador for the forest. So they're big, exciting, charismatic creatures that a lot of people are scared of. And so Eaten Alive is really confronting a lot of people's worst nightmare. You know, but the point of the show is we're going in and studying this species and the ecosystem it exists in, and trying to make this engaging, entertaining, and also educational. And with the type of exposure this is getting, you know, with 20 million people viewing it, probably just in the U.S., even if 1% of those people gets interested in conservation, you know, or decides to take some sort of action, or talks to their kids about it, whatever it is, or, you know, or gets inspired to travel and support some of the ecotourism places that are protecting a lot of these threatened habitats, then we did something, you know. So that's really where that's coming from.
You spent, about 2 months in the Amazon and doing the special, filming Eaten Alive, and you were looking for the snake that would ingest you?
Well, we were actually there. It's very difficult to study anacondas, and that for that reason, no one's done it. So, you know, the special, you know, for the sake of the special on Discovery, yes, we were looking for the snake that was that could be a potential for actually eating me. But for our own work, and this is touched upon in the special, that we were actually the first people to start trying to study anacondas in the Amazon ecosystem. And I mentioned gold mining. Peru has declared a national emergency because there's so much illegal gold mining going on. And the government's basically playing whack-a-mole, where every time they shut one down, another one pops up. And they completely destroy the forest, and they're leaching mercury into the ecosystem, which is entering through the fish, and it's making its way all the way up into people. Almost 80% of the people in the region have higher than safe levels of mercury in their bodies. And anacondas, as the top of the riparian ecosystem, as the at the top of the water system there, they're huge indicators of the health of the ecosystem. So by studying them, we're going to find out a lot of stuff about what's going on in this. You know, this is still something that we don't understand very well. What are the effects of this deforestation and the mercury? But finding these things, one does not just walk into the Amazon and find anacondas. You have to go wading into these swamps, and I mean, just to get out far away enough from civilization to where the ecosystem really is in full swing and vibrant. You know, you're talking about weeks of expedition in a boat. You're talking about walking for days through untrailed forest and then sloshing through swamps day in, day out, in the night, searching for these snakes. And that's just to find them. Then when you find them, catching a 20-foot, 250-pound snake in deep water that you can't stand in is a very daunting task.
What has been fascinating, and because there has been backlash, animal rights groups have come out and have criticized the project. Discovery has been very quick in saying that the snake is alive and well, which I assume you can attest to. What is fascinating about all of that is that meanwhile, you're the guy who is down there in spending this time there trying to save their environment.
Yeah, and actually, you know, a lot of my friends and family and colleagues were coming to me when they saw all the backlash, and, I mean, PETA got, I think, something like 20,000 signatures in the first week protesting the show and trying to boycott me and everything else, but I actually thought it was great. I've worked with snakes in Borneo and India and Peru and Brazil and in the U.S., and throughout history, snakes have been feared, misunderstood, and intentionally exterminated. I mean, people A lot of people don't like snakes, and they're one of the most mistreated animals on the planet. And to see 30,000 people in such a short amount of time come out to support a single snake was actually really cool and encouraging. So what I see happening there is the start of a conversation. So all these people came out, you know, death threats and swearing at me and you know, but all anger derived from that they don't want this snake to be hurt, which I think is awesome. So where I want to take that, though, is so you care about this snake. What I'm saying is we need to be looking at where these snakes live, because, A, we didn't hurt a snake, so we're fine. I would never do anything that would hurt the animal that I love and spend my time studying. But what I want is to guide people to connecting the dots and seeing that if they care about these snakes, if they care about wildlife, you have to protect where these animals live. It's not about captive animals. It's not about captive snakes. I know right now there are more tigers in captivity in the U.S. than there are in the wild. And sort of, you know, I think 50% of people on Earth right now live in cities, and I think that there's a disconnect where animals aren't perceived necessarily as they should be. They're in zoos or cages or displays. Animals are wild, tigers, anacondas. So, you know, all these people have voiced support of anacondas. I think that that's great. I'm inspired by that. And I think that that's, you know, now we can start the discussion of, well, look at the place where these things live, and it's not just anacondas. They're just the ambassadors that we're working with. There's millions of other species sharing that environment, and every single day, that environment is being incinerated and burned to the ground and being developed. And the thing is, you know, it's so much bigger than, you know, I'm using anacondas, I'm a wildlife guy, but it's not just about saving the rainforest. It's not just about saving the animals. You know, this is the resource frontier. I mean, the Amazon produces a fifth of our world's planet's oxygen. It contains a fifth of our planet's fresh water. It timber, gold, other resources. You know, so whether you're a politician in Tokyo or you live in New York or L.A., you're breathing air and you're living in a world that is heavily influenced by this single biome. It's sort of something that I feel is the greatest challenge of our generation. I mean, making sure that the natural world doesn't collapse.
So then I have to ask the question. I mean, you're in a carbon fiber suit. They douse you in pig's blood, and then in you go, and you go through constriction and getting swallowed, and then ultimately, you're in the belly of the beast, and so your big issue was oxygen.
Well, yeah, we were very careful with making the suit that, you know, we designed it so that if the event was successful and I made it inside the snake, that I would not die while I was in there. I mean, because, you know, the first concern is the crush. Anacondas are big so that they can haul their prey down and crush it to death and then swallow it in a way that's safe for them. So the carbon fiber suit would protect me from the crush. But then once inside the snake, yeah, I had a breathing system and a tether that ran out the back of my leg, and so I was able to breathe so that if I was inside the snake, I'd be okay.
So the special will be on Sunday. The book has been out for a while. It is again Mother of God: An Extraordinary Journey in the Uncharted Tributaries of the Western Amazon. And meanwhile, your work continues. You're all over the world. You're based in the Hudson Valley, right? You live in the Hudson Valley. And then
I live in the Hudson Valley and in Bangalore and in Peru, yes.
Okay, so you're all over the place.
I'm all over the place.
And then the next project is on tigers, if I'm correct.
Correct. Right now, you know, the Amazon is still massive and still 80% of it exists. And that's, you know, that's another thing with everything that I'm doing is that, you know, I feel like when I grew up, conservation was a very, like, it was like very weepy and very defeated. And I feel like what I've seen this stuff. I've seen the trees being burned. I've seen these ecosystems going down. But I don't think it's something where, like, all hope is lost. I just think that people need to realize that it's not too late, that we still have tigers and we still have, you know, whales and rainforests and that stuff. We can protect that stuff, and we need to. But, yeah, tigers, what's interesting is that in the Amazon, the forest is still very intact and very large. And in India, where there's a billion people, the forest is severely fragmented. And so large animals like tigers and elephants, especially, that need to migrate between different areas, they're having to migrate over farms and villages. So there's a very interesting thing happening where they're adapting, and radio collared tigers are teaching us that they're leaving forests and surviving on like mongooses and goats, not their normal prey base, and they're hiding in bushes and traveling by night, and it's just this crazy adaptation, and just what they're doing to survive the ocean of humanity that they live with is really like an interesting story. So that's definitely something that I want to work with, and after working in India for a few years already, I think I'm pretty ready for this project.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the special. It's this Sunday at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. It is entitled Eaten Alive. Your new book is Mother of God, An Extraordinary Journey into the Uncharted Tributaries of the Western Amazon. It is published by Harper. Paul Rosalie, it's great to have you back on the program. I thank you very much for being with us, and good luck on all of the work.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Again, you can see Eaten Alive on the Discovery Channel this Sunday at 9 o'clock. The name of the book is Mother of God. It is published by Harper. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.